Hello, everyone. I'm here. Get my board here. All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Let me open up the chat and we'll get going. Y'all come in and say hi. Make sure you can hear me. Can you hear me all right? We're going to talk all about self-sabotage tonight. Hello, everybody. Here's the chat coming through. Okay, y'all. Rhonda says she's back for more. All right, so let's talk about self-sabotage. Self-sabotage specifically, we're talking about, you know, overeating is a form of self-sabotage, but it's not the only way we self-sabotage, right? So we're focused on, y'all know we're doing the think, feel, do cycle, right? That's what we're, that's what's in your, you know, in your new planner. And we're going to talk about that for a second, but actually let me kind of back up and just kind of tell you what we're going to do here real quick. Always learn in, see anybody else in Toastmasters? Always, the big thing I've learned in Toastmasters is that you tell them what you want to tell them, you tell them what you're going to tell them, you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. So I'm first going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. And anyway, Dale Carnegie, there we go. I think that's kind of similar. So this is how we're going to do, kind of how we're going to structure things. I mean, I know I love to hear kind of how this is going to go, right? So I'm going to do a little teaching at the beginning about self-sabotage, what it is. And one thing that we're working on kind of trying this this month is that we're going to focus on one of the questions in the self-sabotage course. So for those of y'all that are here, if you want to kind of, while I'm teaching a little bit, if you want to break out your breaking self-sabotage workbook, you could just bring it up on the screen. I am going to see if I can bring it up on my screen. Let's see. Can I share the, I don't know if I can share my screen if I am a, I was wondering about this, if I can share my screen or not. If I don't share my screen, I'll just go over it, you know, on the paper. But we are going to be going through, so with some of the calls this month, we're going to be focusing on a specific worksheet and just kind of go through that. And so I was looking through this course today, and we are going to do the Uncovering False Threats worksheet, which is on page 26 of the course. So if you want to just, you know, run, go get that, or pull it up, just pull it up on, you know, at pnptribe.com. If somebody wants to post the link to the self-sabotage course, breaking self-sabotage course, and post a link to the workbook, that would be awesome. I don't know if I can pull up a caller for them to share, but if I can't share my screen, I can't imagine a caller would be able to share their screen. Cause it's like, there's nothing down here. Oh, wait a minute. There's the share screen button right in front of my face. okay. So I'll do that in a minute, but thank you. Thank you, Rhonda, for posting that. Lori. Hi, Lori. Lori's just right down the road, a few miles. So, okay, y'all, self-sabotage. So what is it? Where does it go in our think, feel, do cycle? That's my first question for you. Where does self-sabotage go in the think, feel, do cycle? Somebody give me an answer in the chat. Do, thank you. Okay. So it's an action, right? It might be overeating. Give me some other ideas. Page 26, Nellie, 26. What else is, besides overeating, is a way to self-sabotage? Drinking, not drinking water. And I mean, the good question is, I mean, good question to ask yourself is, you know, what am I trying to sabotage? You know, most of the time, a lot of the time we're talking about weight loss. So how am I sabotaging my weight loss right now? That can just be an amazing question to ask yourself. Some of y'all might be overeating, not planning, not leveling up. Let's see, negative self-talk, of course. You also might be doing some things like, you know, instead of, you know, doing something you plan to do, you're looking at Facebook, you're going to bed late, somebody said. All that kind of stuff, right? Comparing yourself to others, all kinds of good reasons, great reasons. Okay, so self-sabotage goes in the do line. So what you all want to do, what I want you, want everybody to do, you got, be sure you got some, you know, pen and paper handy. I want you to come up with what leads you, because really the negative self-talk, it goes up here in the thought line, right? That's what we're talking about, is that negative self-talk leads you to feel something that leads you to self-sabotage. So, what goes in your thought and your feeling line? I want y'all to post in there. So I'm going to move the negative self-talk. It starts in the thought line, right? Might say procrastinating, all kinds of things. So what's in your thought line and what's in your feeling line? I just want it. I'm just tired of thinking about food. It's too hard. This is never going to work. All the old shitties, right? Old shitty. You know what I'm going to do? Hashtag old shitty. That's where that goes. And then what about some feelings? Somebody said complacency. Deprived. Powerless. Defeated, frustrated, hopeless, right? So, you know, I could put a million in there, right? Defeated. Complacent. Hopeless. Deprived. So you all might be able to do, I mean, if you've got multiple old shitty thoughts, I want y'all to work on a think, feel, do cycle. Y'all got those pages in the back of your planner. Every single old shitty thought that you have, how does it feel? And how does it lead you to self-sabotage? Okay? So that's really how self-sabotage works. Now, what I want to talk about today is the false threat. And I just thought this was a fascinating concept that I think we can kind of talk more about, because I love brain science anyway. And so I'm going to move this out of the way so it's not quite as distracting. Y'all can. Or does anybody need that to look at for notes? Okay. There's fuckery afoot in my brain. Okay. So let me just go ahead and see if I can bring up this worksheet real quick. So we're at the bonus courses. I still got to bring it up. Y'all, I've been coaching my face off today, just leading up right to this call. Breaking self-sabotage. And then click on the workbook. All right, let's see if I can share the screen. There it is. Share. Let's see. Let's get that out of the way. Can y'all see it? Let's see. Where's the chat now? Okay, there's the chat. Okay. Can y'all see the workbook? Okay. Let's just scroll on down here. Don't get car sick. Me scrolling. Try to do this a little bit quicker. All right. Is it 26? Well, wait a minute. Hold a minute. I'm on the wrong page. Maybe I lied to you. Oh, wait. Okay, I lied to you. Y'all, this is the workbook before we updated it to the new design. So I lied about, do y'all see my personal calendar? Okay. Oh yeah. Y'all don't get me started about the calendar. All right. Let me see. Let me see if I move it over here. Can y'all see it? Okay. What do y'all think about my calendar? Oh, that's so funny. I didn't want to even look at the chat. Y'all, I tell you what, doing a calendar like that is a game changer. Okay, now we've got it right. Y'all, I've got three monitors. I've got my laptop and I've got two external monitors. And so I never know exactly what screen is going where. So, all right. But anyway, like I said, I lied about the page number. It is page, there's the motivational triad. We're going to talk about that in a second. And it is, I'm going to chat back over here. Let me minimize this. Okay. Okay, here we go. 34, page 34. Y'all seeing it? Yes, I use the Monday Hour One is the Life Coach School, just by the way, is the Life Coach School program for time management, but our Managing Time course is the exact same thing, basically the exact same thing. So just managing time, just check that one out. So yes, this is the Breaking Self Sabotage course, Kristen. So... and here we go. Uncovering False Threats Worksheet. Okay. All right. Got that settled. Live TV, y'all. All of that, doing all these calls is such an amazing practice in imperfection, in doing B minus work, right? That's what I teach a lot of my clients about is, you know, like, y'all are going to learn something tonight, even if I don't teach it perfectly, right? So that's the way I like to think about it. Rhea, so here's the thing. Just to clarify, when you were outside of the membership, that was called Ending Self-Sabotage. And that is a different course. That's a different program. Right now, we're doing Breaking Self-Sabotage. So that's a really good question. So that's the course that's only available to members, and that's where the workbook is. You only have 33 pages? Yeah, so Rhea, you're using the other workbook. For Ending Self-Sabotage, this is Breaking Self-Sabotage. I know it's a little confusing. So you just need to go into the bonus courses at pnptribe.com and pull up the Breaking Self-Sabotage course, okay? All right. So, false threats. What are false threats? So, this section of the course talks all about brain science. It talks about, you know, how we have the two brains, the conscious and the unconscious brain, and how the unconscious brain is responsible for 95% of our thinking. And the conscious brain is responsible for 5% of our thinking. And the conscious brain is where we make all the decisions, where we decide what to eat or what not to eat, where we decide how to spend our time, how to set our calendar that you saw and all that kind of stuff, right? But the unconscious brain is very important. It's responsible for 95% of our thinking because it keeps us alive. It keeps us from walking out in traffic. It keeps us breathing while we're sleeping. All of that kind of stuff. And so it's super, super important, but we don't want to use the unconscious part of our brain for us to make food decisions or for us to decide how we spend our time, because the unconscious brain utilizes the motivational triad, and it is motivated by these three things. It's motivated by ease. It wants to do the easiest thing possible.
it wants to conserve energy. So I think about it like a 20-year-old college student, you know, picture a guy laying on his couch in his dorm room. He wants things to be easy. He wants to conserve energy, like he doesn't want to get off the couch. And he wants to avoid pain. Like, maybe he smokes a lot of pot or something like that, right? So playing video games, thank you, Nancy. I'm like visualizing, that is our unconscious brain. Do you want someone like that making decisions for your food and basically your dreams in your life? Because that's the brain, that's the brain back here. Now it's like a super smart 20-year-old, like it knows how to keep you alive, like, you know, keeping you breathing and all this kind of stuff. But it didn't know anything about what you need to eat, know anything about how, you know. So it's just like thinking about it like that. So it's so important, the unconscious brain, because it does keep us alive. But we don't want to depend on it for, again, achieving our goals. But what it does, because it is just on the lookout for threats at all times, it's on the lookout for traffic out in the street. It's on the lookout for, you know, like bears, you know, we talk about like, you know, it still thinks you're a caveman out in the, you know, or cavewoman rather, out in the, you know, out in the wilderness, and you need to find some berries because, you know, winter is coming, y'all. And you need to store up to, you know, you're starving to death. And so it really just has that kind of mind. And so, but at the same time, it wants to accomplish all of that with the least amount of energy possible. It wants to conserve energy because it thinks that, you know, all these bad things are going to happen. So your brain will throw up all of these false threats. And I love that term false threat because a lot of times, y'all, we believe these threats. We believe these, they're thoughts, right? We believe these thoughts that, well, I need to, you know, somebody else, here's an example. Somebody else said something about me. My feelings might get hurt, right? Like that's a threat. You think that's a threat. We're going to go over all the threats here in a minute. It says, the more you leave your thinking up to your brain, up to your unconscious brain, it will create false threats that your brain thinks is compromising survival. So I'm going to, I'm actually going to write this up on the board. I'm going to erase this. I'm going to write this up. Can y'all see? Y'all can kind of, I know I'm little. You know what? No, I'm not going to write since I'm just in a little bitty screen. I'm just going to say it. I'll just go over it real quick. Yeah, because the board, I know the board is small. Do y'all actually see my face though? Y'all can see my face just in a little box. Again. Technology. Okay. So y'all can see me. So here's an example of some of these false threats that our unconscious brain, you can't see my face. Okay. Oh, some people can see me. Maybe if you're on your phone, maybe you only see the screen. So we're going to go over the worksheet here in a second. So here's some examples of false threats. What you think when someone says something about you. So that's the first question here on the worksheet. What do you think when someone says something negative about you? So y'all put something in the chat. Where do your thoughts go when someone says something negative about you? That's one kind of, Marla says, I immediately believe them. It must be true. What did I do wrong? They don't like me. I get angry, right? So that's number one on the worksheet. What would you like to think? So number two is, what would you like to think about yourself and about them? Because what anyone says about you is only a threat if you think it's a threat. Right? It's a false threat. And so you really want to recognize, like, okay, am I having a lot of thoughts about what other people say? And am I creating this false threat in my life, and how, right? Through my thoughts. And so the next question is, what would you like to think about yourself, about them? How would you like to think differently? And some of y'all have put up, I know who I am. They have their own opinion. It doesn't matter what they say. They don't really know me. And again, it could be a laddering thought too, right? That's what we're learning about this month in Thought Bootcamp. It could be like, I'm working on believing that they can think whatever they want. Or, you know, Sam says, I could be the juiciest peach, but maybe they just don't like peaches, right? I love that. You know, it's just everyone gets to have their opinion, right? Okay. So that's your first kind of thought, false threat. What you think when someone says something about you. The next one is worries. So, yeah, there's a couple of questions here about how you'd like to think when someone says something. So how would you show up for yourself if you were thinking what you'd like to think instead of what you usually think? And then let's talk about worries, which is our second kind of false threat. We love to worry, right? We especially love to worry about things that we have absolutely no control over. So Corinne did this exercise. Oh, here comes my husband. He might stick his head in a second. Corinne did this exercise at camp, this amazing exercise on worry, where you take all your, you list all your worries. Just that exercise alone is amazing, where you just get it all out about what you're worried about. Kids, COVID, you know, parents, going back to school, whatever it is, job, weight loss. And then you take that list and then you get another piece of paper, put it down the middle, and what you have, what do you have control over? What do you not have control over? And that's what this part of the worksheet does. You just list your top three. For each one, can you do anything about it? If you can't do anything about a worry, what could you think instead? Put that in the chat. Worry's my middle name. Yeah, you find you can't, sometimes you find that a lot of your worries, most of your worries, you can't do anything about. Like other people wearing masks, for example, or not wearing masks. You know, that's a common one these days. C'est la vie. Worry is just a way to continue inaction for me. Worrying isn't going to change anything. One of the best thoughts that I learned when I was going through coach training was worry pretends to be necessary. I love that. It just seems so necessary, right? It just seems so true. Like I should be worrying. I should be worrying about something. Nope. Especially if you don't have any control over it. But the way that she does the exercise is like, okay, here's the stuff you don't have control over. But the stuff you do, you come up with one small action that you want to take, like now, to address it. So I just love that exercise. Okay. So worry is our second kind of false threat. And then let's look at the next one. Blame. Blame is our third kind of false threat. So do you often think, if they would just change, my life would be better? What you're actually doing there with that thought is that you're blaming other people for your feelings, right? So the false threat is someone else not acting the way you think they should, and you're thinking that somehow affects your feelings and your emotions, right? So the next question in the worksheet is, do you think if they would change, my life would be better? Imagine they change. Somebody give me an example of somebody they want to change. Okay. Somebody said my father, my boyfriend, my kids, everyone. Okay. Let's say they changed. What is one thought you would think if they changed? Let's say, Ann, you said rude customers. Like, basically, your thought is, if they weren't so rude, my life would be better. Okay, let's say everybody from here on out, all your customers, they come in and they're just peachy. Speaking of peaches. So, what is one thought you would think, Ann, if every one of your customers was now polite? What would you think? It would make a better work environment. What else? What else? What would you think? I'd have an easier job. That's what you think, right? I love this next question. How could you think I have an easier job now? Or is there a version of the thought you could think now? What if nothing had to change for you to think I've got an easier job? That's an amazing question for you to ponder. And I know I'm not looking at y'all. I'm looking at myself over here in the box. So those are just two amazing questions right there. Because we think that other people need to change for us to feel differently. Nope. Okay. Get through this. By the way, I see a couple of Q&A, and then I see some people that have raised their hands. If you want to get coached specifically on self-sabotage, you can raise your hand and I'll coach, you know, as many people as I can up until 6 o'clock. And so, but it's got to be specifically on self-sabotage, you know, behaviors. Okay, let's finish this out here. How often, so the next false threat is how often you use fat girl thinking. Are you hard on yourself and rarely thinking nice things? So basically, it's judgment of yourself. I mean, that's such a common, like, our brain doesn't want to change, and so it just throws up judgment. And, you know, and that keeps us from changing, right? That keeps us from doing new things. It's like, oh, we can't lose weight anyway. So, you know, we've never done it before anyway. We're a loser. You know, I'm a loser. And so that's a very, very common. We just, you know, your brain just throws up this false threat. So the next group of questions is for that. List three thoughts you want to start thinking about yourself each day. So instead of I'm a loser, instead of, and this is so complimentary, y'all, with the Thought Bootcamp this month, because it's all about identifying the old shitty thoughts and really thinking about how can I turn those around just with some of these simple laddering techniques that we teach in there. And how can you think about, instead of I'm a loser and I'll never lose weight, it could be I'm working on this. Just working on this. I can handle anything that comes my way. I'm losing this weight for the last time. Yeah, this call will just be about an hour, Lori. So how will you trigger yourself to think these things for the next 30 days? That's another thing we talk about in Thought Bootcamp, is that what's so amazing is that these old shitty thoughts can actually like serve us for good. They can actually like be an amazing gift to us, because they can trigger us to practice the new thought that we've come up with, right? I love that. I love seeing these shitty thoughts as like not shitty at all, because they're a trigger to practice the new thoughts. They're supposed to come up. Like, I'm waiting for them to come up so that then I can practice the new thought, right? So, and here's the next to last question, what are three thoughts you use from your past? I just talked about that, right? I've never lost weight. It's always harder for me. They keep you stuck or struggling in weight loss. And so that's Okay, yeah, because these last two questions are focused on your future outlook. And that is the last false threat that your brain will throw up. It'll start thinking like, it'll just start thinking like, you know, we'll never do this, right? We'll always be overweight. The outlook is bleak, right? With your unconscious brain. I think about like weather, right? The weather outlook is bleak. Well, your future outlook for weight loss is bleak if you depend on your unconscious brain to tell you, because it's just going to say, we've never done it. You know, we will never do this. Says, do you argue for how hard it will be because of your past, or are you working on how it can be different in what you will do? So these last two questions, you come up with like the three thoughts that are really hosing you in terms of thinking about your future, like, you know, kind of reflecting on your past. And then how it will affect your future. And then what does your future self 30 days from now and losing weight think and do? So what are some new thoughts of, you know, I just mentioned one before, like I'm working on it. You know, I'm one of my favorite quote from Chasing Cupcakes is she's talking about overeating, but you could put anything in that space. This is a past pattern unless I choose it again. Overeating is a past pattern unless I choose it again. Overdrinking is a past pattern unless I choose it again. All the self-sabotaging, procrastinating is a past pattern unless I choose it again. I just love the way it's like concise. It acknowledges that, you know, you've done this in the past. But it can absolutely be part of the past. It can be in your rearview mirror. And you never have to choose it again. And I love that reminder that you're always choosing self-sabotaging behaviors, right? You're choosing to continue them. So what do you want to fill in there that you can just decide Monday, August 10th at 5:33 p.m. Central Time? It's a past pattern for you unless you choose it again. Right? Okay. I love that too. I'm focused exclusively on solutions. I love that book, y'all. All right. So that's the worksheet. So I'm going to, so I encourage you all to fill that out, but really just recognizing the concept of false threats. Like all of these things we talked about, when someone says something about you and what you make it mean, worries, blame, fat girl thinking, being hard on yourself and not thinking nice things about yourself. Your future outlook, you know, thinking, you know, that you failed in the past or thinking something different. All of these have something in common. They're all thoughts, right? Basically, what hoses you and what leads you to self-sabotage is always a thought. And so I just love how it kind of grouped all these things into this false threat category. And when I say false threat, it means that it's not something that you have to choose again. And it's not something that's even real. It's something that you're thinking that you don't have to think anymore if you don't want to. Okay? All right, let me run to close the door, y'all. Then we'll do some coaching. Okay. Then I'll unshare my screen. Stop share. All right, I'm back. Well, I think I've done that before, but I learned a little new technology. I learned I need to move my screens around, and y'all got to see my amazing calendar. Can you please elaborate on the concept of B-minus work? Yes. So B-minus work is really kind of a concept that comes with, kind of goes along with perfectionism. I like to call myself a recovering perfectionist. I'm always recovering. And it's the concept that, you know, if you find yourself procrastinating, if you find yourself insisting on A-plus work all the time, then you're gonna struggle in your life, right? So what if you decided that B-minus work was good enough? Because you know what B-minus work is? It's done work. And that's what's really important, right? You think about like, remember in college, turning in these papers? You know, I was wanting to get an A-plus every time. So I just hemmed and hawed and procrastinated. And I knew intellectually it couldn't be perfect every time. But I just made myself miserable through my thoughts that it needed to be perfect, that it needed to be so, so good. It needed to be A. But if I just thought, you know what? B minus is passing. And I always say, like, I always think, you know, for every job I applied for after I graduated from college, they never looked at my grades. All they wanted to know was if I had, you know, I'd gotten the degree, and I did. If I'd gotten a B minus on every single paper in college, you know, it would have been the very same, right? So what if you focused on doing B minus work instead of A plus? So that's the concept. What about self-blame? For sure, that can be a false threat, right? You want to think, if you're blaming yourself, I want you to write about that, Raquel. What are you blaming yourself for? And that's going to bring up a lot of thoughts for you. But blaming others and then also blaming yourself, absolutely. So do some writing on that and see what you can find out, because it's blaming yourself always comes from thoughts too. Okay. What happens when you actually are doing all the things and you're getting results, then you fuck everything up. I find myself in that cycle often. I do well, feel good, and then it all falls apart. Why do I do that, Libby? It's because you have some sort of thought once you start getting results. And that's what I want you to work on uncovering. Your brain starts throwing up some sort of thought about why you're, you know, about you getting results. What do you make it mean when you start, when you're doing all the things and you're getting results? A lot of times our brain isn't used to just like celebrating our success. Our brain is used to finding, you know, this unconscious brain back here, it's used to, its job is to find problems and solve them. It's always looking for problems. So when you are getting results, your brain is still thinking, well, that's not enough, or, well, but you could be doing a little bit better, or this won't last. And then you may hear that and think, why does my brain do that? Why can't we just be happy for ourselves? So it's recognizing that and saying, oh, my brain back there is just operating exactly the way it's supposed to. And I don't have to make it mean anything. And I know I just need to keep doing the things and getting the results. But there's something in that cycle of, you said you do well, feel good, and then something happens, and then you fall apart. But that where something happens, a thought, that's when a thought happens. And I want you to work on seeing if you can identify that. And if you do some journaling, you're still working on identifying it, post it and ask coaches. Leslie says, so I overate today. I went to McDonald's after work. I was totally stressed. A coworker tested positive for COVID-19 and may have exposed me and others. My to-do list for a virtual school opening is getting longer and longer. This assistant principal is super stressed. I completed a discovery worksheet and hopped on this call. What tools can I use to change my thinking and overcome this issue? Okay. Job one for you, Leslie. Leslie, you want to get coached? Your hand's raised. Let's do that. I'm going to bring you on. I see you on here. Let me close this out. Are you there? Let's see.
I am.
Yes. I can't see you yet. Let me see. I ask you to start your video. See if that comes up.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You're on.
This is my second This is just my second call. My second watching any of these. I cannot believe that. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's all meant to be. All right. So you went to McDonald's after work.
Oh, yes. So I had a very stressful day. I'm an assistant principal at an elementary school. So, of course, work is just crazy, wackadoodle with a virtual start in my district. So the day was filled with all the normal things I had to do to prepare, plus all these other things came up on my plate. Mm-hmm. I had my plan, of course, for the day, was on track with my eating, got in the most water today than I've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. I really did great. I'm almost a whole gallon done. Mm-hmm. I'll be done with the gallon by the end of the night. But anyway, so 15 minutes before, I was holding it together, even though I was stressed, holding it together all day. Still trying to make my way through the No BS course. So I even watched two parts of that while I was at work today. But anyway, so 15 minutes before work ends, a coworker comes in and informs me that she's was working at another facility and had been exposed to COVID-19. So she had been tested. So then my stress level just kind of skyrocketed because everyone in our office manager and everyone has been possibly exposed. So I just was automatically totally stressed out. Mm-hmm. So instead of coming home and eating what I have prepped mm-hmm. in my refrigerator to eat, I just had like this, like I still have this comfort food thing, mm-hmm. you know? So I went to McDonald's and had a quarter pound of fries and a drink.
So tell me more about this comfort food thing.
I don't know, when I'm stressed, having something good to eat just makes me feel better. I did do when I got home a little after 6, so I missed the first 10 minutes of the call, but I got on, grabbed a discovery worksheet, and the first part of your call, I was actually filling that out.
Good. I'm glad you were doing that. I don't want you listening to me. That was going to be job one, was for you to do the discovery worksheet. So what did you learn from that?
That it is a pattern. I mean, I know that it is a pattern. Usually, like when we were in school, I'd have like this craving for something chocolate or something sweet, but that's kind of my go-to like response, knee-jerk response when I'm stressed. Mm-hmm. Like I need something good to eat.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I know it's all in my thinking, but my question just was, you know, what can I do? I mean, I do the discovery worksheets when it happens, mm-hmm. but I want to do some things to keep it from happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the thought that I heard that I think led you to overeat was, this will make me feel better.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It didn't make me feel better. I mean, I still have anxiety about, you know, this person won't get her results until Thursday. Mm-hmm. So I still have that in the back of my mind. I'm not going to be around my, you know, my grandchildren or, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to try to be safe as I can be until this person gets a result. So it didn't really change the situation. I'm still waiting until Thursday.
That's so interesting, right? Like, you know,
yeah.
It didn't, right?
It really didn't.
That's not true. It's just like, that's one of those false threats that your brain throws up. It's like, well, we need to feel better right now, so let's have mm-hmm. McDonald's. But it's just not true, right? Because you don't feel better.
No.
And so you've recognized this pattern. You've learned from this, and what you can do and kind of what you're asking is like, okay, what can I do? You know, what can I do next time? Or like, you know, if you could, you know, rewind the clock a little bit, what could you do in that moment to kind of interrupt that pattern?
Yeah. Well, the three things that I did right. Mm-hmm. One was to touch base with my accountability group, my tribe sisters. That was one thing. I think something else I said was watching either getting into the course. Mm-hmm. Anytime I see Corinne, it just like snaps me mm-hmm. back right into reality. So either watch a course mm-hmm. or listen to a podcast. Mm-hmm. I think that was it.
Another suggestion I have is that this is when I work with all kinds of people where it's like they're making that transition from work to home, you know, just on any day, and they're, you know, and they're having urges to, you know, stop somewhere or something like that, is to just either right before you leave work, just you sit down at your desk and you just do a quick thought download. I mean, even just 5 minutes where you just write about like what you're thinking about. Like, I feel stressed because you kept saying, right, I feel stressed because I'm thinking this, and just make a list. Even doesn't even have to be in pretty paragraphs. But just to get those thoughts out on paper and just kind of take a little bit of that power away from them and just see them. Like, I'm feeling stressed because I keep thinking I might have COVID-19. Yeah. Right? I mean, just get really honest, right? Like, what is swirling around in your head? Because that's really what's happening, right? It's just like all this stuff. And I heard a thought earlier. What did you use? You said, you didn't say crazy town. You said
wackadoodle.
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 That's a heck of a thought, right?
Yes.
And that's a thought, but that's a thought that maybe feel very true to you. Like, no, think you're wackadoodle right now. And it's like, well, if that was a thought, you know, let me write that down and just look at it and see if it's really true. And also if it's just really useful for me right now. Right. So anyway, just to get, like, you could do that at your desk at work, or like right when you get in the car, you know, when it's just nice and quiet and you got the, you know, got the quiet in the car, just have your notebook right there and do a little download.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But you came up with a few great ideas yourself.
So try
it. It's like, you know, give yourself credit, right? You know, you know this pattern. It's just clear as day what's happening. Mm-hmm. And you know that all you need to do is just interrupt it. Another thing, another kind of really crazy thing that I suggest sometimes, like, it's all about your brain. Like, that, your brain loves patterns, right? It loves to create patterns and habits. Drive home a different way from work. Okay. That, like, messes with your brain's like, wait a minute, what are we doing? We're not even going by the McDonald's. What? You know?
Okay. It's
anything. And then, like, or another thing I suggest is that when you get home, go through a different door at home. Like, if you tend to overeat right when you get home from work, it's anything that can interrupt your brain's, like, the neural pathway that your brain has. Like, it just goes straight to the kitchen. Like, enter through a different door so that you're not right in the kitchen and that kind of thing. So it's all those kind of things just to kind of interrupt your brain's natural patterns.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good call. All right. See you later.
Bye.
All right. Let's see with the next question. JS says, I think I'm terrified of succeeding. I think I'm scared because I don't know what it would be like to live life at my goal weight. Even when I try to journal and imagine it, I know I'm only guessing. I don't know what's so scary about not knowing, but after journaling, I think this is why I derail my progress. Any advice? I think that's so insightful, JS, where it's this, like I said, your brain isn't usually comfortable with just things going well, right? With succeeding, with there not being a problem. I had a couple of times last week where I knew my brain, like, I didn't realize it at the time, but afterwards I realized, oh my gosh, my brain is just like looking for problems. It's like looking for a problem to solve, and there is no problem here. But your brain isn't comfortable with that. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And so I want you to do some more writing of, why do you feel scared that you don't know what it would be like to live life at your goal weight? What's scary about that? What's scary about the unknown? Go there, like, face your fears. Y'all always say, like, look under the bed. There's usually just some dust bunnies under there. I say the same thing all the time, y'all. But look under there and see what's really, like, what's so scary about not knowing exactly what your life would be like? Is it worth, is living in some unknown worth it compared to the life that you have now? You know, that's a very good question to ask yourself, right? Are you willing to not know exactly how it's going to be so that you can just see, right, and change your life. And so, yeah, of course you're only guessing, right? Of course you're only guessing when you try to journal and imagine your future because you don't know for sure. How can you be okay with that, with not knowing? Right? None of us know exactly what the future holds. So we're all in this together on that. But the thing is that, you know, you might be guessing that it could be worse, and you're not even considering the fact that it could be better. Right? So I just want you to give yourself equal airtime on, yeah, you don't know, and that's kind of scary, but what if you did know? Or what if you just guessed and it was amazing? So that's what I want you to think about. Okay? All right, let's get one more person up here. Fiona, I think you were first in line, so I'm going to get you up here. Oh my gosh, y'all, there's so much in the chat. I'll be for sure and post the chat transcript. I want to read it. So much chatting in there. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thank you. It's good. In the morning.
Yes, I was going to say it's tomorrow morning. I had a private client from Australia, and so we always talked actually around this same time, and it was always tomorrow morning there. So good morning.
Good morning. Okay. I know this is just my thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start crying. Sorry.
Okay.
I know that it's just thought. I just need to change them. But I so believe that they're true, that it's really hard. And I guess as a backstory, I've had cancer 3 times. So, like, I generally eat pretty healthy, but there are some foods like chocolate that when I eat, I overeat. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that it's not healthy for me to have chocolate because of the cancer and stuff like that. So I sort of think that my only option is to not have it at all. Mm-hmm. But then I think that that's, you know, and I just get so confused. So mm-hmm. I try and eat it in a small portion. I just eat more of it. And then I just go into this self-sabotage thing where I just, you know, beat myself up about it. And I just get so confused.
Okay. So what is the thing that you think is so true?
That I shouldn't eat chocolate because it's not healthy for me.
Okay, let's look at that.
Because, you know, sugar and cancer don't have a great relationship.
But what if you just looked at that and said, no, that's just a thought too. Doesn't have
But to I think true. It's true. But it's true. I shouldn't eat chocolate. So that's where I get stuck.
But that's, I disagree. No, that's a thought. You don't know for sure what chocolate is going to do in your body, right? And right now, yeah. That you thinking that's true is just creating pain for you. So
yeah,
let's just go crazy and just think, what if that was just a thought that I was thinking?
Okay.
What if that wasn't true? Just what if that, let's just go to that place. Because again, you're just holding on to that, and that's what's creating the confusion. Because, I mean, you're basically thinking two opposite things. I mean, I shouldn't eat it, but I want to eat it. I shouldn't eat it. It's a cycle, right? I shouldn't eat it, but I want to eat it.
Yeah.
And so it's like you got to let go on, you know, with, you got to loosen up with one side of it at least.
And I guess then I think underneath that, I think, but like, do I not care about myself enough? Like I was listening to Corinne on something yesterday, and she was talking about, you know, how some people like when something dramatic happens in their life, and she actually used the example of getting cancer, that they change their diet immediately because it's a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, so I've had it 3 times. Do I not care enough mm-hmm. to sort my eating out?
Let's decide that. Do you care about yourself?
I hope so.
let's just, I mean, again, you thinking that thought, maybe I don't care about myself, that's causing you pain too, right? So how about you just kind of decide, yeah, I do care about myself, and I care about myself enough to figure out this chocolate thing for good.
Well, I care about myself enough to join this, so.
I was going to say, you care about yourself enough to raise your hand tonight. You cared about yourself enough to join, you know, no BS at some point.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of evidence that you care for yourself.
So should I just try and like have it in moderation? Is that the way to do it?
What do you think? If I just said, okay, let's come up with a plan. What do you think you are willing to do?
I don't want to eat it all the time.
Mm-hmm. If you're coming from a place of caring for yourself, you know, like caring for yourself mentally and physically.
Yeah. And see, I don't want to use it as a reward because, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, I've been good. So I get a treat. I get mm-hmm. chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah.
But you enjoy it sometimes.
Yeah, I do. I do. When I don't eat a whole block, I do.
Okay. So let's do the little think, feel, do cycle here real quick. So what?
And I don't eat the dark chocolate because I know that's a good one, but it tastes like shit to me.
So you're...
Sorry, all those guys were just talking. I see them talking about dark chocolate in the chat. Sorry.
No, it's like, you're like, nope.
It's got to be the full fat stuff for me.
Got to be the good stuff or the, you know, it's whatever you want, right? I mean, you're going to eat chocolate. Yeah. Let's eat what you want. So you think you want to plan it?
Well, I think, yeah, because I don't want to be eating off plan. Like, I only want to eat what's on my plan. So then, Fiona Stone. I like that she's just posted, I may as well eat veggies if you're going to eat.
Okay. Lots of dark chocolate talk in the chat.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to plan some chocolate.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, we focus a lot on like, what should we do? But that once we decide what we want to do, the real important part is, you know, how we want to think and feel to plan some chocolate. Because here's the deal. Your brain is still going to throw up. You shouldn't be eating that.
Yeah, well, every time I put it on my plan, what happens is that I just put chocolate on my plan and then I think I'll just have 30 grams and then I have 50 grams or 100 grams because the chocolate that I like only comes in a gram block. So then what I was doing was I was buying it and taking off 30 grams and throwing the rest away.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think, oh, that's so pathetic. Can you not just have 30 grams and put the rest in the freezer or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I think maybe that's all I can manage. Maybe if I have to throw the rest away, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Is it?
But here's the thing, doable, right? We're all about doable planning. What can you do? Like, what are you willing to do?
Yeah.
Maybe you need to start with planning 100 ounces.
Really?
If you're eating 100 ounces, I want you to start with what you're doing now.
Okay.
Are you eating 100 ounces?
Sorry?
Are you eating 100 ounces at a time?
Depends. We're talking grams, sorry. So I'm not
sorry,
sure.
Grams. I was thinking 100 ounces sounded like a whole lot.
Like so. The block is 90 grams. So, yeah. So if whatever the block size is, I will eat.
Okay. So let's plan a block.
Okay.
Where does your mind go when you think about planning a block?
I'm never going to lose weight doing that.
What if it wasn't about weight loss right now? Good question. What is it about?
Changing my relationship with chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Change your relationship with yourself too, right?
Yeah.
You've got to start where you are. All of you all have got to start where you are, and you're doing it anyway, but you're beating yourself up about it. How about we just start with you doing it and not beating yourself up?
Okay.
And then from that place, we can work on leveling up, right?
Yeah.
But until you stop judging yourself for doing it, you think that judging yourself is going to keep you, is going to lead you to eat less. Never works that way. Right? It's the opposite. You're so worn out from beating yourself up that you just eat more chocolate.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what was it? 90 grams.
Yep.
But again, how do you want to be feeling to plan the 90 grams? So right now you're feeling very judgmental, very guilty maybe.
Yeah.
So how do you want to feel?
That it's okay for me to have chocolate. It's like, mm-hmm. I put it on my plan.
I mean, that's your thought, right? That it's okay.
That it's normal.
It's okay. It's normal.
That it's healthy.
Hmm. I mean, yeah, you can think whatever you want.
Okay.
Here's a little hint to everybody. Your thoughts don't even have to be true. Because you're thinking untrue thoughts all the time. If you want to think it's healthy, and it may be, right? You can think whatever you want to think. You can think I have blue hair if you want to.
I love your hair.
You can think it's blue if you want to. You know, we can all think whatever we want. So if that, it's healthy. How do those thoughts feel? How does that feel when you think it's okay, it's normal, it's healthy?
Feels relieving.
Relieving, relief. Don't you think feeling some relief is probably like what you've been seeking through the chocolate a lot of times, right? It's this goes so along with, if you haven't done the Thought Boot Camp this month yet, exactly what you're beating yourself up all day, right? For making these choices. And so you need relief from your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you, even if I know, like, so do I plan it as a snack and then, or do I plan a meal and have it instead of a meal? And then how do I manage the plus two of it? Because
So when do you usually eat it?
Probably in the afternoon.
Okay. I would plan it exactly when, like, probably like as a snack, probably in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because I think you planning it instead of the meal, that's coming from that judgment place of I shouldn't be eating this as a snack. I should be eating this as a meal, right?
Yeah.
And
well,
so
I shouldn't have a meal because I need to make up for it, you know? Yeah.
So that's still you judging the decision.
Okay.
So I want you to plan it just like you're eating it now. And then I think it's kind of similar to like when you plan alcohol, right? Like you just don't factor in the hunger scale. We don't factor in the hunger scale right now. We're not there yet. We're just literally like planning it and working on you just being okay with having it.
Okay.
Because we can have whatever we want, right?
Yeah.
Like we have to start there before we can get to the weight loss part.
And I guess I just think that it's not a bad thing for me to do because of the cancer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I want you to, so what I want you to do is I want you to plan it and, you know, choose to have as much as all that you want. And then I want you to journal about it. Maybe even before and after. Before you have it, what are your thoughts before?
Yeah.
And then what are your thoughts after?
Okay.
Do that as long as you need to, right? To really work on identifying your thoughts about it.
Yeah.
And practicing these new thoughts.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
But if you haven't gone through the Thought Boot Camp,
I have.
You have. Okay. Well,
I'm only just new. I only joined. So like, and I think sometimes like you listen to it, but it's hard to understand that sometimes it's hard to, if someone else is saying the same thing to you, you could go, but that's just a thought. Whereas I go, but no, it's true.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think that's so good that you pointed that out, was that you, I mean, all for all of you all, you really want to work on, like, what is something I think that feels so true that might not be true? Right? You really.
And I guess, like, you know, I don't know. You know, like, the doctors can't tell me.
No. No. You really want to question all those thoughts, right? And it's like, what if that wasn't true?
Yeah.
And, you know, that can give you kind of just, even just questioning it can give you that a little hit of relief.
It does. As soon as I say that, I go, oh, ooh, you know.
Because cool. You realize how you've just been, you know, just resisting and judging yourself for so long with something that you believed that maybe isn't true. And again, you determine what's true and what's not true.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Comes to your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
You're in control, always.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well,
Thank you.
Be posted, or, you know, come back on a coaching call or something and let me know how it goes, okay?
Thanks, Betsy. All right. Appreciate that. Bye.
Bye. All right. All right, y'all. That's all I got tonight. Oh, y'all have just been so chatty. Y'all talking about chocolate and all the things. Okay. Those two calls were so good. So good. All right, y'all. Well, I don't want this call to be too long. So it was so fun. Gosh, there's such a good number of people here. I'll make a note of how many people are here. And I think I'm going to be doing more of these kind of calls in future months. MJ's going to be doing drinking. I'm going to be really doing calls focused on overeating and urges and things like that. Kathy's going to be focusing on relationships. And so I think, you know, just seeing how big of a group we've got here is a good sign that I think y'all are wanting more of these calls. So still some chocolate talk in there. I know. I'm tasting some chocolate right now in my mouth. So, all right, guys, well, have a great rest of your evening, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.